Welcome to Creative Disturbance.
Rencontre avec.
Rencontre avec.
Meeting.
Meeting.
Canario Lash.
Pinar, you are one of the artists part of the FIT, Future Emerging Art and Technology Project. FIT is a European Union co-funded program in which artists are in residence within FET, that is Future Emerging Technologies Research Consortium, the goal being to explore unconventional ways of thinking and creativity. Before we discuss your project, your FIT project, could you tell us a bit more about your artistic approach in general?
My work involves multimodal and multimedia artistic experiences that are highly interdisciplinary in terms of their conceptual background or their content. I have to emphasize this aspect of the work even further in that my work is not limited to one medium or one topic. I've been working primarily with time-based media, slow media, wet media, dry media, as well as architectural installation and text. The work involves multiple senses, from sense of touch as in heat, pressure, pain, sense of smell, sound, and vision, either directly or as secondary inducers. I'm very interested in science. The scientific fields within which my work is enmeshed are mostly biological sciences, including ecology, toxicology, molecular biology, evolutionary biology, embryology, and most recently synthetic biology and genetics. But I do have a background in cognitive and affective neuroscience and computing. In terms of the theoretical domains that I'm interested in, I look at feminist technoscience, animal studies, which is a new field, right? Gender studies, environmentalism, and a splash of media theory. Speculative design is not a new field, and together with speculative design, architecture, photography, and fashion design also influenced my work, precisely because these are fields that have a history of or a tradition of emerging in between theory and practice. The Anthropocene is another key word I have to mention, and this is the timestamp of my work, again applied to both theoretical work and practice work. And whereas some of my projects come off as applied science fiction, some other projects are more in the domain of sensory experiments. So I'm, you know, with the projects that I'm working on, I'm pretty like open accepting of new ideas in terms of display or sharing the work. But I'm also very open in terms of the fields that I work with.
You have selected the FET Consortium Diacat. Could you explain first what you are doing in short and why you chose them?
I'm very happy with my team, the FET project that I've chosen. They're working on utilizing the unique characteristics of man-made diamond, which is now widely available at a low economic cost, to generate carbon products out of carbon dioxide. So they call it artificial photosynthesis, in that it's different than many other artificial photosynthesis projects where labs or scientists are trying to mimic the process of photosynthesis. But they have a very radical and unique approach in that they're not trying to mimic that. They've come up with an entirely new system that uses, you know, solar energy, sunlight basically, and artificial diamonds and water to break down CO2, excessive CO2, before it's even released in the atmosphere. For me, the project can be summarized as a physical chemistry project with a distinct focus on removing excessive CO2. What makes the Diacat project unique for everyone is that at the time where climate change or global warming are posed as the most prominent events of our time, right? The project brings a fresh approach to eliminate excessive carbon emissions before they are even released. So I was drawn to this project primarily for two reasons. One, my affinity with chemistry as a young scientist. The principal investigator, Anke, and I were both in chemistry Olympics, although in different years and in different, you know, geographies. We were both very interested in chemistry at a young age. And another thing is the promise of this project to effectively reduce carbon dioxide. So back to my, you know, interest in the Anthropocene and ecology and toxicology, this project made the most sense for me.
Future, emerging art, and technology.
We are doing this recording in December 2016, which is in the progress of the residency. The residency is not over. So could you explain what you have already done and if you have any idea already of the artwork you intend to create or the directions you would like to go?
The FET project will be finalized in 2019. So right now they have, you know, some proof of concept. They are working on multiple aspects of the project, but we don't have this project finalized yet. So what I've done so far is basically I first started by brushing off my chemistry knowledge. So I ordered my favorite chemistry book, which was my companion when I was from 16 to 18. So I, you know, got a new version of it and read the book to kind of remember all these details about energy gaps, you know, organic matter versus inorganic matter and chemistry of carbon, of course. So that was interesting for me and it was necessary to understand the project. I requested materials mostly on case presentations on the project for a more scientific audience. And I have array of papers on the subject. So I've been doing what I could call a literature review, reading about this. In the lab visits, I have, taken a lot of pictures and I've looked at the artificial diamonds. So when I first chose the project, everybody was like, diamonds are forever. Girls really like diamonds. So there was this, you know, joke about using diamonds, but artificial diamonds actually do not look like what we think of when we think of a diamond, right? It's not like this optically alluring, really interesting, nicely cut stone. Rather, it's kind of a dust. And when it's for this project, when they mix it with all these other chemicals in the chelate form, it looks rather dull. So the first challenge was, of course, to understand the system really well, what was going on and the chemical processes behind it. The second challenge was, you know, to work with this material. So I came up with a couple ideas. The very first idea I had was idea of a tree, an artificial tree made out of these artificial diamonds. But once I visited the lab and was more familiar with the materials that I'm working with, I thought that it's not going to look like what I thought it would look like. So I've changed that idea a little bit since then. And another, you know, I'm still working on that, but I'm working on other things as well. Another idea was basically to offer a glimpse into the future of this project where we can look at, for instance, an urban landscape, like an urban environment where this technology, DiaCat technology, is in use, and how this would clear the sky for us, or how this would basically prevent more carbon emissions, and how this could be used in the industry. So that for that, I thought I could maybe offer some architectural drawings and some sketches and maybe a film or a video. But then I realized that I would not be able to get too deep into the wondrous complexity of this technology itself. So right now what I'm very, very focused on is simply a box. I call it a box. This is a box where we can see the process at work. So I'm making everything very clear for the audience to understand, like you see carbon dioxide coming in and then there's these like artificial diamond covered nano wafers, I don't know how to pronounce them. You can see like bubbles or different types of chemical compounds forming on this. And then you can see ethanol or methanol or methane leaving this compound. So it's this structure that is made with clear acrylics. Everything is very clear. I also wanted to emphasize, you know, the role of sunlight and water in this project. So the look that I'm going for is this like highly transparent, translucent, optically interesting, you know, setup. Although we do not have that coming from the diamonds themselves, right? I thought we could make this installation like visually interesting. The way I work is I normally almost always have multiple ideas to begin with, and I'll pursue them to a certain level to see which one works, which ones work and which ones don't work that much. And for this project, I'm very excited about this approach where I can visualize the physicochemical processes, or let's say the kind of like a flow chart, but you know, in action. I think this will be one of the most visually striking solutions for this project. And when I say solution, I think what most of the FEED teams are dealing with is communicating these technologies, or you know, working with these technologies. I am basically trying to emphasize all the features or the little, you know, components, the physical events that are happening within this process, and sharing it with the audience so that we can all get excited about this, as excited as I am.
You already mentioned the length of a FEED project ending in 2019, and the FEED project is ending next year in 2017. Obviously, the time frame of a scientific project and the artistic project are rather different. What's your take about that? What do you think about this model of artist-in-residence within science and technological research program? Can you compare it to other experience that you may have?
The science project involves multiple teams and is supported by EU and has this huge funding which can support all of these labs and people for 3 years. Hopefully it might get extra funding and continue. So one thing that came up, I think also with other teams, is that we might continue to work with the teams even after the FEED project is over. So that is something I would like to do. Of course, I don't know about the specifics, but it would be a shame to like end the project by the end of the FEED project, because the timelines really don't match. On the other hand, the FEED model had been great because this model allows us like long-term, you know, collaboration opportunity with all these established science labs and the chance to work with the scientists on a one-to-one basis. And it's all really well supported. There is, you know, an infrastructure and there is a team behind the FEED that helps us, you know, make this collaboration possible. So I'm very fond of this, of course, as someone who had worked with scientists in the past. My personal experience before FEED had been mostly, you know, initiating the dialogue myself, approaching the scientists myself, getting the funding myself, and doing all of these things myself. It was always very self-driven, and, you know, the durations of the projects would vary, and when you approach a scientist, when there isn't an organization like FEED behind, sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes they won't be interested. But what we all experienced was in the matchmaking events, for instance, artists were really popular among scientists. And for me, that was like a first. So FEED solves most of these problems, but it could be also useful to think of these art science collaborations as more like long-term projects where you're working for a year or a year and a half, and you become part of the science team, right? And you're constantly in communication with them.
What has been said previously by other artists is that it could be interesting to have the artist at the beginning of a project when the scientists are expressing all their hypotheses and directions and so on. And again, at the end of a project when they have made some progress, which could be actually something that would make sense in your case. So do you think it could be something that would be interesting?
It also depends on the project and the field, I think. The advantage of taking place in the beginning of the project could be that the artist becomes an active part of the brainstorming process. But that is a lot of work on the artist's part, especially if this is a new field of science. Because to be able to brainstorm successfully with the scientists, I think the artist has to have the scientific knowledge and the ability to speak that language at a certain level. The advantage of, you know, taking part at the end of the project is maybe there would be more dissemination options because the project is completed. But as I said earlier, it depends on the project. These projects are all very different in nature, and you know, some of them are like theoretical physics. There isn't really material reality that we're looking at. Some of them are like very physical, like the genetic engineering projects or biology projects. So it depends on the scientific field and the project as well.
Field is about creation and innovation. How do you see this specific residency impacting on your work, on your aesthetics and art forms? Mm-hmm. You mentioned at the beginning of this interview that your creation was going into very different kind of directions, both conceptually and in the media you are using. So mm-hmm. How do you see the impact of this residency?
This project has a very positive impact on my artistic development for multiple reasons. One of them is I was able to, you know, reunite with physical chemistry and chemistry, and I was looking forward to an opportunity to do that. Also, I've been working on global warming and climate change via other projects, where I design systems or experiences to create awareness about them, but I did not have the chance to actively do something about it. So this project offers like a new technology to perhaps, you know, offer a solution to excessive CO2 emissions, and I find it very interesting. And I think this could really change the course of history even. And it's very exciting and stimulating to be a part of this process. This project itself gives me the opportunity to actively take part in a real solution to a real problem, rather than just, you know, trying to create awareness around it. There is also my another project that I'm working on called Distilling the Sky. So the technology that FET project is using, DioCat is using, is also influencing the way I approach my, you know, Distilling the Sky project. Because I'm like, oh, maybe I could use this there too. So there's all this, like, how to say, crossover happening.
How do you see the creation you are doing in general, and more specifically within this FEAT project, as fitting into the art world, as proposing innovation into the art world? In which kind of trends do you see yourself?
The art world is an ambivalent word. There are a lot of different art worlds, right? You know, I'm not making this project so that I can like change the course of contemporary art history. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I'm just really invested in the project because I really enjoy working with the team, and I'm really fascinated by this technology. It's a different game. The art world is a different game, and even finding a gallery, or like if we kind of dissect, you know, different levels of the art world, there's the biennial system, there's the art fairs, there's the galleries, there are the collectors, etc. I am not really in that world 100%. The kind of work that we're doing as artists, scientists, is not necessarily in that world. There aren't art science art fairs, for instance, or there aren't collectors waiting for the next art science piece to come to life so that they can purchase it, right? So the funding structure is very different. The topics we talk about are very different.
When I saw the work you presented at the ZKM, at the Exoevolution exhibition, which is this speculative synthetic biology and ecosystem of sea creatures that have evolved to process our plastic. The objects that you created could easily be in a, you know, mainstream gallery at the Venice Biennale or something like that, because they deal with important current issues. They deal with political issues, ecological issues, but at the same time, they are objects that refer to some kind of science museum history. But they are very beautiful and attractive objects, and we are very attracted to them. The first reaction is to be attracted to those objects and to what this is. And then they talk about something else. So if I rephrase my question, how much art science is art?
My answer had been like kind of simple. So it's also, you know, why I'm drawn to science. I see science as the inquiry into the nature and the processes of nature. There is an inherent beauty in most of these processes. There is an inherent beauty in all the organisms and life forms. There is an inherent beauty in, I don't know, carbon dioxide turning into methane and ethanol and methanol. So I think I try to capture that and share that. I think I try to capture what captivates me and share that. So I think I'm amplifying that to a certain degree so that, you know, it's distilled and it's intensified. But I see that, and that's why I'm drawn to what I'm doing. And I want to share it. I have shown in biennials, I've shown ecosystem of excess in biennials. I will continue to do so, but my work is not necessarily integrated in the commercial art, you know, world. That has not been a goal for me. That's not why I started making the kind of work that I'm making. But again, there is no opposition.
How do you consider art in an art-science relation?
At this point, I have formed my own personal view of what good art is or what art is. And I think a successful piece has to have some kind of power over the viewer, has to be really strong. And aesthetics, as you mentioned, is very important to me. Again, the way I approach, for instance, the Anthropocene is like pretty aesthetic. I think that most of the problems we're facing, from climate change to plastic pollution, excessive consumerism as, you know, one of the underlying causes of this, these are problems about aesthetics, in that if aesthetics is about perception and sensation and emotion, right, there are some things that are broken in that realm. We are not able to perceive or sense the consequences of our actions, for instance. So it just goes really deep. And I'm, you know, very drawn to orchestrating the human sensorium to talk about, to, you know, bring forth certain subjects or ideas in the viewer. So I can't be didactic. I can't be like, hey, this is what I want you to think, and here you think this. But at least I can put the viewer on a path so that they can explore the ideas on their own and they can come to conclusions on their own. So it's like Umberto Eco's open work. you create all the, you know, conditions for your end goal and let the viewer take the journey themselves, right? So I also don't know how to work without thinking about aesthetics or without thinking about how my work will look, make people feel, how I'm going to influence them, because you choose a color, it means something. You choose a texture, it means something. All of these things, you know, speak to the viewer in multiple dimensions. So I think a good artist has to know about, you know, composition, color, like which emotions to convey, what text to use. I don't know. So, and we have this amazing history and inventory as artists now. Like artists of the past have given us so much. I think if I belong to a new generation of artists that are working with science and technology closely, I still have to look back and, you know, what's the expression for that? Stand on the shoulders of the giants and use the skills and the teachings that they've offered us, you know, how to, yes, orchestrate the human sensorium, how to speak to the soul of someone.
Des pastilles, ear, à sucer pour l'oreille, candy.